Good morning. Welcome to our online family. I hope you've got your cup of coffee. After that music, we all need popcorn, and we're going to be looking at the faith, the final frontier. We're looking at our third series. I think Steve did such a wonderful job of setting the foundation of what faith really is. And this morning, I get the privilege of sending greetings from our very own Paul and Barnabas. Actually, it's Steve and Yanu, but they are in Zambia at the moment. Yay, Irene, we can do it together. And he is having a wonderful time in Zambia. He's had a very special time sharing to the men yesterday, and he will be preaching at Miracle Life this morning. Shame, he's had to have 4 COVID tests in 4 days. So I think his little brain is a bit sensitive, so he won't be blowing his nose in the next few days, and Yanu. But we look forward to seeing them back tomorrow. So thank you for your prayers. I'm going to be sharing on faith and how we can apply it to communion. I'm going to take the whole morning just to share some powerful truths that have changed my life, and I know that they're going to change yours. You know, every morning, most mornings, I bought the box. I can't show you the label for various reasons, as you will know. We're not promoting anything here. But every morning, I open my cupboard and I choose what vitamins I'm going to take for the day. How many of you have vitamins in your cupboard? Thank you, thank you. Okay, good, I see that hand. Some of you aren't going to raise your hand even if I beg you. Okay, here is my clump of vitamins, all right? And every day I think to myself, oh, I'm so glad because I take this little one. This is my multivitamin. And it's got extra vitamin B. And you know how I know this? Because I have such faith that what they say on that bottle is going into this little tablet. That when I don't take it, at the end of the day, I think to myself, I'm pretty tired today. Those vitamin B's really work. Have you ever had that moment? Okay, then I've got fiber. Yes, to the ladies. Okay. Say no more. I've got oils. Do you take oils? Okay. You too can glow like me. Okay. And then I take vitamin C. Yes. In COVID areas, you must take vitamin C's. And as you can see, this is all fun and games. Now, when my brother was little, at the age of 5, he got a brain tumor. And God miraculously healed him. But from that day on, we had to take a lot of vitamins as a family. And with that, my brother and I used to have competitions as how many tablets we could swallow in one shot. We could go up to 15 tablets with one gulp of water. And I still do that to this very day, which was all fine until I took a new a new brand of vitamin C. As you can see, this is half a brick of vitamin C. Somehow I felt this one has more vitamin C in than the smaller tablet I was taking. And with the 15 I was taking with it, it got stuck horizontally in my throat. And it took 40 minutes to swallow. But anyway, I still live, and yes, I still swallow 15 tablets at a time. I now just make sure my tongue swallows that one first. But you know what happens, guys, is we have so much faith in these tablets. When a doctor prescribes medicine, what do? We take them 3 times a day, twice a day, 1 at night, 1 in the morning, after meals, before meals, with a meal. Why? Because we have so much faith in that little powder is going to do what it's meant to do. We don't know what it's made of. We don't know how they made it. And so we have this faith in these little things, but how much more should we be having faith in communion that we are meant to be taking together? And I want to show you some powerful truths that will show you what it means when we take communion. And we're going to go on this journey together. And I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. Paul comes and he says, "For this reason, many are sick and weak among you, and many sleep." For this reason. If I say to you, guys, there's one reason or there's one way we can all lose 20 kilograms today, wouldn't we do it? If I said there's one way we can all be super fit, we would do it. But somehow when Paul mentions this one reason, we read over it. Instead of saying, hang on, wait a minute, there's only one reason. And it says here, he gives the reason in the verse before, in verse 29, for he says, "For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." This is the one reason why many of us are sick and failing. Now, often when I've heard this preached before, that verse just scares you. Then you actually don't want to take communion. Because now, if I don't do it right, something's going to happen to me. But I'm going to show you and just bring this amazing truth into our lives. Because the parallel truth to that scripture is if we do take it in a worthy manner, what is going to happen? It's going to bring life, wholeness, and healing to our bodies. But we're so focused on the unworthy manner that we don't realize there is a worthy manner of taking it. And when we do, that is what it's going to produce, is this amazing life in our body. In Colossians 1 verse 14, it says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." Ephesians 1 verse 7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." There's something that we need to start foundationally today, and we need to understand that our sins have been forgiven. That he has redeemed us based on what he did at the cross. And so we start that when we think about communion. But before we get there, I want to remind you of a story found in Mark chapter 2. We know it. It's when these men come, and we'll read it together in verse 3. "Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men." The room is full. The guy can't walk. And so what do? They go to the roof. And these four friends start pulling the roof away. We all need four crazy friends in our lives. Amen. That are not going to look at circumstances, that are not going to believe the room's full and walk away. If you don't have a crazy friend, phone me. I will be your crazy friend. "And when they came, could not come near to him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven you.' And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their heart, 'Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?' But immediately when Jesus perceived in his sight that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, 'Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven you," or to say, "Arise, take up your bed and walk"? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house." Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this before." You know, in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, while Jesus was on the earth, they were so accustomed to coming to the temple, and they had to bring all these animals. They had to bring either a lamb or little doves, whatever they could afford, and they had to sacrifice them, and they knew that their sins would be covered. They had no concept of sins being forgiven. So they had seen Jesus healing, and they were starting to get their hearts persuaded that he was a healer. But the idea that God could forgive, it blew their brains. They could not grasp that there was this forgiveness and healing. And I feel that today in our churches, we've had such wonderful teaching about the forgiveness of sins. We understand that Jesus was the Lamb of God, that we have been forgiven, and yet I feel it's almost swapped. Where we so easily believe we are forgiven, but when it comes to healing, we start to doubt God and we start to have all these lists of why we are not experiencing healing. And communion is so powerful. There are two very clear elements. There is the bread, which represents the healing of Jesus, and there is the blood, which represents the forgiveness. And when you understand the power of both, when you bring them together, manifestations of life happen. Amen. In the Old Testament, there are so many beautiful shadows of what communion was meant for us. Even if you look at the Passover meal, God had very specific instructions what everything needed to look like. And even if you look at today's matzah, it had to be unleavened. It wasn't meant to be made with any yeast. It had to be pierced. It had to be baked, almost burnt. And then it had to have stripes on it. And what a lovely picture of Jesus that is for us. That bread represents somebody who had no sin in him. He was pierced on the cross. His body was burnt with the judgment of God, that we could say we've been forgiven. That sin was burnt out of his body. And then the stripes, he was whipped so that you and I could have healing. That shadow is what is represented in that bread that we take. And then we see how the Israelites in that Passover meal in Exodus chapter 12 verse 7, it says, "And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it." They knew that if they applied the blood of the Lamb on their doorposts, the angel of death would fly over them. How much more when we believe that wine is the blood of Jesus, we are declaring to the realm around us that death can pass by, that sickness can pass by, that it's not going to come into our family. And then they ate the lamb and they ate the bread. And you know what? Those Israelites, they were slaves. They had been slaves for centuries, for years. They didn't have the best Egyptian taskmaster of the year. Those Egyptians weren't trying to get, you know, homeowners association stars of best labor practice of the year. They were beaten. They were starved. They weren't having vitamins every day. But look at what happened. It says in Psalm 105, verse 37, it says, "He also brought them out with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among his tribes." I believe something supernatural happened that night. They had been beaten all day. Maybe their bones had been broken. Maybe they were weak. They hadn't been fed enough. But the night they took that lamb and the night they ate that bread I believe the life of God hit every cell in their body. And their weak bones suddenly got strong. Their hard backs suddenly got healed. Their open wounds started to close because the next day they were going to the promised land. Not one of them was feeble. That is our promise today. If it worked in the old covenant, how much more should we be applying this promise to us? In verse 27 in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, it says, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." We have been so scared of the scripture. We have been threatened with the scripture. And so today I want to just go through some of these words. If you look at the word unworthy or in an unworthily manner, just a little English lesson. This is actually an adverb. It's not an adjective. An adverb describes the verb. That means the verb is how you are eating it, the manner that you take the body and the blood. And what is that unworthily manner? Paul describes it because the Corinthians were coming to their gathering and they were so hungry, they were just eating the bread and drinking the wine and getting drunk. That was the unworthy manner they were taking it in. It is not describing the noun being you and me being unworthy. Can you see the difference? How many times have we felt unworthy so we don't take communion? It's not talking about that. It's talking about us not respecting the manner of communion, not seeing it as the power that God has given us, just seeing it as a ritual or something we have to do on a Sunday. That is taking it in an unworthy manner. The second thing is judgment. It says that unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself. Now that word judgment is the Greek word krima, which is actually a divine sentence. And that judgment was placed on Adam when he took a bite of the apple. When he took that apple, the judgment came of sin, sickness, disease, death. And what you are saying is when you don't take communion in a worthy manner, when you don't understand the power, you are agreeing with that judgment that happened with Adam, and that sickness, disease is going to follow you. But when you take it in a worthy manner, when you agree with the finished work of Jesus and you say, "I believe that I'm free from that judgment because Jesus took it for me," the opposite starts to happen. You come against sickness, disease, death. Amen. We start to walk in the very life of God. And not in agreement with the sickness that Adam fell with. And you may say to me, "Dee, it's only one bite. What power can one bite do? Have you seen how small my cracker is? How many bites did it take Adam to bring darkness into the world? One bite. How much more can our bite of knowing what we are taking bring to our bodies and our souls?" There is so much power. And then the word examine yourself. Oh, this used to clap me. How many of you knew it was Communion Sunday when we were growing up, and every Communion Sunday, my family would have a fight on the way to church? Somebody would be shouting. And I remember sitting there thinking, examine yourself. Oh my goodness, I can't take communion today. Don't you know this is the very reason why many of you are dead? I'm not taking it. Are you crazy? I can't examine myself. That's not what it's talking about. And the reason we know this is because look at the shadow. When the Jews brought all their animals towards the priest, he didn't line the people up and say, oh my goodness, you haven't cleaned your teeth, your hair's a mess, you haven't washed your clothes, look at your feet. They never examined the person. Who did they examine? The lamb. They examined whether the lamb was spotless, was without blemish. We will never be good enough. Our self-righteousness is like filthy rags. We are never going to be able to examine ourselves and be worthy. But I want to tell you that Jesus was the spotless lamb. And he came and he's taken away the sin of the world. And he even says, I am not going to judge you any longer according to your sins. So why would we? He comes and he says, look at the lamb. And so that examine yourself there is literally examine to say that I am taking this seriously. This isn't a ritual for me. I am going to do this and acknowledge the finished work of Jesus, what he did at the cross for me, and that is the worthy manner. Isn't that beautiful? You know, as we look at some other shadows, I want to read the story of Elisha. Maybe some of you know it. But Elijah went back to Gilgal. There was a famine there while he was consulting with the guild of prophets. He told his servant, put a large pot on the fire and cook up some stew for the prophets. One of the men went out into the field to get some herbs. He came across a wild vine and picked gourds from it, filling his gunny sack. He brought them back, sliced them up, and put them in the stew, even though no one knew what kind of plant it was. This is found in 2 Kings chapter 4. The stew was then served up for the men to eat. They started to eat and then exclaimed, death in the pot, oh man of God, death in the pot. No one could eat it. I don't know if they all started choking or gasping for air. I don't know what happened, but no one could eat it. So Lord Elisha ordered, get me some meal. Then he sprinkled it into the stew pot. Now serve it up to the men, he said. They ate it and it was just fine. Nothing wrong with the stew. So often life can happen. We are busy minding our own business and next minute we throw poison into the stew pot. Something happens. You weren't expecting it. Life suddenly becomes like poison. What did Elisha do? He said, bring me the meal. That meal is the same flour they use for the unleavened bread. He knew that applying that flour was going to make everything okay. Maybe some of you have poison in your body this morning. Maybe you're battling with a health issue. Maybe you're battling with an addiction. Maybe you're battling with unforgiveness. When you apply the unleavened bread, the body of Jesus, I want to tell you, all poison goes. Amen. Look at Moses in Exodus chapter 15. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. So the people grumbled at Moses. Okay, that's nothing new. Keep with me. Saying, what shall we drink? Then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. There he made for them a statute and regulation, and there he tested them. Here is a picture of bitter waters. Some of us have had life happen and we are very bitter. But Moses took a specific tree. And for me, that is such a beautiful picture of the cross. And when he threw that tree, when we apply the cross to our lives, that bitter water becomes sweet. Things you've been holding on, things you haven't understood, become sweet. I'm not going to read the whole story, but we also know the story of two men after Jesus was raised from the dead. They spent 7 miles walking to their place in Emmaus. And for 7 miles, they talk to Jesus. They tell him what's happening in Jerusalem. He starts sharing about the different prophets. But none of them recognize him. Until verse 31, when he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and breaking it. He began giving it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he vanished from their sight. When we have communion, my prayer for you today is that your eyes are opened to the power that has been given to us in this incredible, practical idea of us partaking in the Lord's body. There is so much power. It's not just a ritual. You know, when I went through my cancer journey, I used to take communion 3 times a day. When Steve was with his COVID and he was one of the first 3 in Knysna, we didn't know what was happening. When that fear rose in my heart, I took communion. When anxiety comes, take communion. See that power. See the exchange. He did it for us. He said, I've got something for you. Don't just trust in human nature. Don't just trust in medicine. They are wonderful and they're going to get us through everything. God uses doctors, hear me. But take communion. See the power that God has given us. See it exploding in your body. And I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 11 in the Amplified because this is how I take communion. It says, and when he had given thanks, we start with thanksgiving. This is the worthy manner that we start with. When we are so grateful for what he did on the cross for us. We're so grateful for his faithfulness in our lives. You know, tomorrow's 4 years since our fires. We have so much to be grateful for. God has redeemed our lives and saved us. And then it says, and he broke it and said, and I'm going to continue with my English lesson, but let's look at the punctuation. And he broke it and said, comma, take, comma. Don't just take it and eat it. This is our worthy manner. Take it, be aware of what you are doing. Be there, be mindful of what you are doing. Then it says, after the comma, eat, full stop. And what I do is I eat it, and as it's going down, I use my full stop, and then I hear Jesus say to me, Dee, this is my body broken for you. And I believe that something supernatural happens from my full stop to Jesus telling me. I believe it's that bread becomes the very life of God in me. That his energy, that his life-giving force that was on the cross starts to implode and explode in my body. Where if there's sickness, I see Jesus' cells like crashing into that sickness. If there's depression, I see it with his joy. If there's poison, I see it being absorbed. Something supernatural happens from take eat to this is my body. And then I love this. It says, do this to call me affectionately to remembrance. And for me, that is just such confirmation of what we've been talking about. You know, if I call my children to come give me a hug, and just before I give them a hug, I say, oh, wait, you haven't cleaned your teeth, or your clothes are unwashed. You know, why haven't you ironed your clothes? Your shoes are dirty. Oh, I'm just examining you. I'm just judging you. You're coming to me in an unworthy manner. Does that sound like affection to you? God wants us to do this in remembrance of him in an affectionately remembranced way. When we do this in a worthy manner, there is only love and acceptance. It says similarly, when the supper was ended, he took the cup also, saying, this cup is the new covenant, ratified and established in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, to call me affectionately to remembrance. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are representing and signifying and proclaiming the fact of the Lord's death until he comes again. Every time we do this often, don't make this a once a month ritual. Do it often. And when you do, the life and power of what Jesus did on the cross, when he said, it is finished, that life force is going through your body, killing cells, absorbing poison, letting go of bitterness. You know, when Steve and I have had a major fight, I know that's breaking news for you. We do fight. But our best thing is when we've said we're sorry, we will go and have communion together. Because what we're doing is saying we choose to remember that we were forgiven so we can give forgiveness. It's so powerful. So won't you get your communion elements ready? Has everybody got? If you need one, won't you lift up your hand? Steffi has one. Won't you get your bread ready? For those of you that are watching with us online, won't you grab some bread and some juice and partake with us? It's such a privilege to be together as a family. Let's take this bread. Let's just pause. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for us. This morning we do this in a worthy manner. We know you were the lamb that was slain for us before the beginning of time. And so, Lord, we take and we eat. And we see your life-giving force flow through every cell in our body. We declare to our body that this is the body that was broken for us. I come against cancer. I come against COVID. I come against depression. I come against muscles wasting away. I come against pain, and I speak the life of Jesus into your body right now. Thank you, Jesus, for your body. We are so grateful. Absorb any poison right now. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for your precious blood that was shed for us. That because of this blood, we are forgiven. We've been made righteous. We've been declared holy. Because because of what you did, not because of what we've done. So this morning, as a family, we take your precious blood. Thank you for forgiveness. In Jesus' name. And just while every head is bowed, maybe you've come here this morning, maybe you're watching online, and you've never asked Jesus to be Lord of your life. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I would love to pray for you. If you've never made that step, if you've never believed in a God who died for you, who accepts you just as you are, I would love to pray with you today. Won't you just raise your hand and I will pray with you. If you're online, won't you write in the comment below, thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Anybody else who would like me to pray with them? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Can we pray together? Let's join together with our brothers and sisters. Let's just say, Father God, thank you for sending Jesus. Lord Jesus, today, I believe you died for me, that you have forgiven me of all my sins. I choose to make you Lord of my life, that I am your child, that I can turn around and follow you. Thank you that I am now yours. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. I want to encourage you to go and have communion this week. Go and put into practice what you've learned this week. And go and enjoy this powerful tool that he has given us. For those of you that had Mother's Day photos, there's some more Mother's Day photos. We've got our offering bags at the end if you want to give in at the door. For those online, you're welcome to give EFT. And if you need prayer, please, we have a ministry team that are waiting for you. If you gave your life to Jesus, we would love to give you a book to explain what has happened. But mostly, always remember, you are highly favored and deeply loved.